I'm going to read a little passage of scripture, and I think I'll just let you ask a question or two. In chapter 3, read this. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me. How have you got your Bibles tonight? Turn over there with me, will you? It says, there was a man of the Pharisees. This is the third chapter, St. John, first verse. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now last night, we kind of elaborated a little bit concerning as to what that light was. But we also here one night had a message, and we preached concerning the great light of God and what the light had to do with. And tonight, I was just thinking, now, in these particular scriptures, there is quite a number of things. First of all, he says, except a man be born again. Now, right there is a great thing, children of God. Everything depends on that one thing. Everything in your life, your entire future, your present status of welfare in this world, and your welfare or promise of the next world, it depends upon being born again. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to think on that just a little bit. Now, the question would be, what does he mean you cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay? When you say he cannot see the kingdom of God, what is he talking about? What does he mean? What does he mean? What does he mean when he says, unless you're born again? Would somebody like to tell me? What does he mean? He said, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Notice it now. This man came to Jesus by night. And he asked him certain questions. And Jesus said, first things first, except you be born again, he said, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. See, there's no dispute here as to whether you can enter into the kingdom of God or not. As the Bible said, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and men pressed their way into it. But there's no dispute here as to the entrance into the kingdom of God. That hasn't even come into discussion as of yet. He is at this point saying you cannot even see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And you know what? Right here, folks, is a great thing to understand. If you can get this one little thing here in your mind and heart, it will help you in all that you do. See, when you talk about the kingdom of God, it's like as when the Jews came to Jesus and they said, now you say that you're the Messiah. Now, if you are the Messiah, then does that mean that you're going to set up the kingdom? Because we know that according to Moses' teachings, when the Messiah comes, that he's going to set up a kingdom. Are you then going to set up the kingdom of God according to Moses' teachings? Are you going to set up the kingdom of God and you're going to rule on the throne? That's what the Bible says. That's what the old scripture says, the Old Testament. That's what the Jews said to Jesus. But Jesus, he astounded them by saying, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. It is no wonder he uses the term, speaking to Nicodemus, lest ye be born again, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. For he said, my kingdom is not of this world. You know, that right there alone tells us what he means when he tells us that you cannot see it. Jesus is saying, my kingdom is not a tangible kingdom. It is not something as pertaining to that you can see with your natural eyes or feel with your natural hands. He said, I don't have a kingdom like that. I don't have a kingdom like that. So he says here, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He told those people, he said, the kingdom of God, it doesn't come by observation. You can't see the kingdom of God. Your great scientists, with their great telescopic abilities, he said, well, they're never going to see the kingdom of God. You can't see the kingdom of God. There's no way. To begin with, the Bible said, God is the great light unto which no man can approach. And Jesus Christ alone dwelling in that light hath immortality. Now then, to look at the scriptures to see if that actually bears out, look what happens. Is he really the great light that no one can approach unto? It must be true. Because we're told later on after Paul makes that statement, as we see the millennium coming in, the Bible said when he, the Ancient of Days, sets the great light, that when he starts approaching the earth, all of a sudden the earth fades away. The ocean fades away. Everything in existence fades away. Therefore, he very definitely is the great light. Paul didn't make any mistake in the way he presented it. He said he, the Ancient of Days God, said he's that great light that nobody can't even get near. He's the great light unto which no man can approach. How then are you going to see the kingdom of God when you can't even get near God? You can't even get near God. He's the great light that you can't approach. God has to keep his distance from the world, because if he doesn't keep his distance from the world, there won't be any world. Just the fact that he comes around, that's the end of the world. Somebody says, well, I wonder how the end of this world's going to be. Well, there ain't nothing to wonder about there. Just the fact that he's coming down here, that takes care of that part of it. That's why he used the terms, I will destroy him with the brightness of my coming. The only thing is when this light is spoken of here that we read about, in this great wonderful light it speaks of, that is, men love darkness rather than light. In this great light, the only thing is when people think about this great light, they think of it on a human level. In other words, they think about a great light, you know, like somebody welding, or some great light like the sunlight, you know, that you can't look into. But that isn't the kind of light that he's speaking of. That is only symbolic. That is in your world. That is on your human level of comprehension. But that is not the light that God is speaking of. The light that God is speaking of is intelligence, godly understanding, that divine intelligence that is so superseding that as it begins to approach the earth, and we see this even in its revelational form, that as it begins to approach the earth, the veil begins to fade away and the mysteries begin to come to the surface, and everything that is natural begins to turn into a nothingness. And the only things that remain in the light of that understanding is the invisible that created the veil that we look at with our natural eyes. All that is to say, as this great light approaches the earth, even in its little precipitation, as the revelation begins to break forth, all of a sudden, it begins to unravel the mysteries of God, and that which we thought was a tree wasn't a tree at all. And that which we thought was a star, it wasn't a star at all. It was only a symbol. That is to say, many things that came forth was only lying divination. And when this great wonderful truth come, and this great wonderful light begin to come to reveal real true existence, that is eternal existence, while this other just disintegrates. It just disintegrates. And suddenly that which we thought was a certain thing, we find out it was only a representative of it. That it wasn't that at all. For instance, here such Brother Taylor a man. I say Brother Taylor's a man. But then as the great light comes, the closer it gets to Brother Taylor, all of a sudden I say, my dear God, he's not a man, he's a God. While he's that lying divination or that perversion of intellectual reasoning and what I thought he was, all of that is just disintegrated into nothing. And here I'm looking at something that's outshined the noonday sun, and the sun's gone out. See, any person that is a son of God will outshine the noonday sun. That is to say, they that have turned many to righteousness. So when we say here, children of God, that unless you be born again, you're not even going to see the kingdom of God, we mean one thing, and that is that God is not seen by your eyes of natural sight. And we've said this a number of times. If scientists is right, if there is actually 22 nerves that is conductive as to transmitting to the brain, if there are those nerves, then that means that God is so great that these little old pupils that is constituted of a few atoms that transmits through what we call nerve reaction to our brain. If what I'm saying is correct, that means there's no possible way you can see God like that. While God is so great, how could we ever feel that we could see God like that? That is unreasonable. In reading about God being the great light and that the world itself cannot remain in His presence, why, it's absurd to think that we're going to see Him on these little old... Somebody said, well, I still think we could. Well, that's because you... Well, Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. What else could you call it? Not willing to understand. To prove to you that you're wrong, look at Paul on the way to Damascus. When the great light appeared, and Paul took one look, what happened to him? That was the end of the pupil, wasn't it? That was the end of the little 22 conductive nerves. Well, he didn't see God. He just saw a little light that God dropped down there, and he was blind. And look at Moses on the mountain. Moses come down, and he was so bright just having been in the presence of God off at a distance that the people couldn't even look at him. He had to put a veil over himself. You see what I'm saying? If you want to liken it unto the Shekinah in the sense of a natural light, there wouldn't be no way that you could ever look at it. So then he says here, when he says you cannot see the kingdom of God, he isn't talking about our natural eyes. Because God is a spirit, therefore God's kingdom is a spirit. And what he is saying is that you cannot see God except the eyes of your understanding, not eyes of natural sight, but unless the eyes of your understanding become enlightened. This great light, which is called God, has got to come near you to do away with the shadows, do away with the scales that fell from Paul's eyes, do away with the dark veil of death, and then when it comes forth, then it will cause your eyes of understanding to be awakened, and then you'll begin to comprehend. But until you have the new birth, which means believe in God and let God's Spirit come into your heart and touch your heart, that veil that Moses spoke of is still over your heart. For it's still over the hearts of the people, or the minds of the people in the reading of the Old Testament, that veil of types and shadows, that intellectual type that he called a pattern. That intellectual type is still there. So then to see the kingdom of God, you've got to get born again to even get started. You're not even started until you're born again. That's why the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Pentecostal, all of them's going to miss it. All of them's going to miss it. Everyone that's not born again, it doesn't matter what kind of church they are. They can say, we're Pentecostal. That don't mean nothing to God. They can say, but we're Catholic. We're number one. That don't mean nothing to God. And they say, well, we're Jesus' name. That don't mean nothing to God. Hallelujah. Nothing. So then, what is it? You say, but Brother Pike, now if you say you're a Church of God in Jesus' name, then Assembly of God, you know that means something to God. It don't mean a thing. You say, but we're called by His name. And the Bible said if we're called by His name. The Bible said you have a name that you live, but you're dead. Now, so then, unless you are born again, unless you get born again and get God's Spirit in your spirit to touch your spirit, to take away that veil of your intellectual reasoning until you come to that place. And I say, children of God, you can. But I'm saying to you, children of God, until a person comes to that place, they cannot. They cannot. until they get to be true children of God by new birth. And you are a child of God by new birth. So then he said, except a man be born again. Now this is Jesus. This is not somebody that's got a brainstorm. This is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, God Almighty, standing in a human body, just like I'm standing up here before you, and he is speaking through human lips. And he's saying to a human being, he's saying, you can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again, Nicodemus. And I don't mean to get to preaching to you, but I'm just trying to get the thought over. See, that it's not just any old saying, it's not just any old word, it's God. See, he's saying here, this is Almighty God. He's speaking through his son. And he's saying, now you got to be born again, or you won't never see this thing. The kingdom of God's not going to come by sight. You're not going to say, lo, here is the kingdom, and lo, there is the kingdom. Or they're not going to say, well, over here we're going to set up the kingdom, or down here we're going to set up the kingdom. He said, this thing is a spiritual thing, and the only way you can see it is through eyes of understanding, which means great light, through the comprehending of the height, the depth, the width, the length. This is the only way you can do it. You got to comprehend God. You got to comprehend the kingdom of God. I say all these things to you for a purpose. Jesus taught these things for a purpose. See, Jesus done so many wonderful things in the natural that people got off course and looked for the natural blessing of God or the natural blessing in life. So did Moses. Moses, being a spiritual man, did so many natural things in the keeping of ordinances and the washing of pots and pans and of telling them what would bring them natural health and natural prosperity and natural happiness until the Jews got off on the wrong track, just like our Big Ten evangelists have today. All they could talk about is healing and making money and having prosperity and anything that's natural. But see, we forget one thing, and that is that the devil loves them kind of things. That Lucifer, he just loves to get a hold of an evangelist and change that evangelist over to desire the things of the flesh to get him away from any spiritual teachings whatsoever. That doesn't mean that we don't have the advantage of the things of the flesh. Paul said, if I've sown unto you spiritual things, shall I not reap your carnal? Which means he wants us to have healing. He wants us to have blessings. He wants us to have divine deliverance. God wants us to have all those things. He wants us to have prosperity. But when we desire those things, then we miss God altogether. Because he does not want us to desire that. The Bible said, place your affection on things above, where thieves don't break through and steal, where moth doesn't corrupt, for wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be. Your interest, all of your plans, all of your endeavors, all of your activities will be toward natural things in this world. And when you do that, you are not born again. Because the Bible said, if you've got the love of those things, you are not born again. It is when you get the love of God, and you might have $1 million, or you might have $2 million, but when you get the love of God, all you can think about is God and God's kingdom and God's ways and God's understanding and God's wonderful blessings of reaching the lost for Christ and seeing people come into this great, wonderful peace and rest of his wisdom and understanding. And brother, if you have any other desire, you just miss the boat, as the world says, because you don't have it. If your desire is to frolic with the opposite sex, if your desire is to make money, if your desire is to get education, if your desire is to be some great, fabulous, famous person, if your desire is just to do something in the natural all the time, you just didn't get born again. That's all it is to it. Whereas if you've got born again, it will prompt you to build an ark like Noah did and do something in the natural, but your heart will be in heaven. Your activities will be in the earth, but your affections will be on things in heaven, which means spiritual things, for heaven is the spirit. Your affection and desire will be spiritual, but your activity will be natural, in the sense that you do the natural things to help people find the spiritual way of God, in that they see the light of God in you, in that you feed the hungry and do those things that help people. They see the love of God because they're fleshly, and that's all they know is when you give them something. That's why the devil is taking advantage of these healing ministries. Satan knows that, and he knows that unless a person's wise, they can't get around his shrewd, cunning way. And he gets these things going and into a big money machine. And the people, they want God. And so every natural thing they see, they say, that's God, that's God, that's God. Somebody say, well, you know this is God. God healed you. How many give me 50? How many give me 100? How many give me 1,000? God ain't in 100 miles of it, not in 1,000 miles of it. You say, but Brother Pike, them people was healed. It wouldn't have made no difference if that evangelist had been 10 miles over the hill. That person would have still got healed when they lifted their faith up to God, because this is the day of grace. That evangelist didn't have nothing to do with it. His heart wasn't right with God to start with. One thing he did do, he inspired them in that he did have a zeal. He had a zeal, and he got something going, and he got them inspired. At least he got them looking in the right direction. That's why the Bible said, just leave them alone. Let them grow together. That's why the Bible said, they say it, don't do. Just go ahead and do what they tell you, but don't do after their doings. All right. How many would like to sit and go to sleep tonight? You sleep in the church, you get in trouble. So, well, I can't help it. Yes, you can. It just takes the effort, that's all. It just takes the effort. You get in a rut of doing it, you can't help it. But if you put forth the right effort, you can help it. You mean to tell me that God so made a man and a woman to where they can't help but go to sleep in his house? How do you believe that? God ain't never. You listen to a lying spirit when you take that outlook. If I had to sleep for a whole week, I'd stay awake in the house of God. I know sometimes you might go to sleep. I've been real sleepy and almost doze off. And I know sometimes you can do that. But I say this, when you use yourself up in the natural, for the natural, and then sleep through the spiritual, you're doing a very foolish thing. All right. So then, it is a true fact that unless you're born again. Now listen, he goes on down a little further. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, and this is a good thought. He said, I'm an old man, Nicodemus said. Now, how can I do this? Can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? Now, this proves that whether you're old or young, it doesn't have anything to do with new birth. You could be 90 years old and still be born again. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, did you notice the difference here? He said you got to be born again to see the kingdom. But now when we come to the entrance, he adds water. Whereas the Bible teaches as many as have been baptized into Christ, they put on Christ. He said, lest a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now there is a great dispute concerning this. And somebody said, well, what he means when he says water is the first birth. He's simply saying, Nicodemus, unless you be born to the first birth and the second birth. But that don't bear out just right, you know that. There's a good thought along those lines. Has some good thoughts along those lines, but people that don't believe in baptism, they really love to, you know, speak that away. But it is a truth that a birth comes by water, blood, and spirit. Isn't that right? And the Lord is so provided that there is the blood atonement, and that there is water baptism, and that there is the Holy Ghost, which is Spirit. God follows it right down to the T. in that ye should be born again. Born again. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Unless ye be born of water and spirit, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Which means that the entrance into the kingdom of God has to do with water and spirit. I know the Baptist people, as a rule, teaches that the entrance into the church is to be baptized by water. Well, that is not true. The entrance into the church, which church? The church is the body of Jesus, members in particular. And to be baptized into that body, or to become a member of that body or that church, you have to be baptized in by the Spirit. It takes life to make my arm part of this living body. And if the Spirit is not in my arm, alive and not in my arm, you can hang it on me, but it's not part of me. So then it takes life. It takes life to cause this body, as the church, as we would say, the body of Jesus, to knit itself to another member as that member comes in. It has to be grafted into the body. And that the Bible said you're grafted in while by nature. So then it takes the Spirit. You are baptized into the church by one Spirit. All right, now, I'm going to stop in just a little while. I don't feel a real keen interest, even though I do feel an interest. I tell you, if you know this like I know it and understood it to be what I understand it to be, you'd have such a keen interest you wouldn't want to go home at all. And if you know what it was going to mean to you in a little while, and what these wonderful words are, and you are going to need them, brother, sister. As sure as you live in this world, if you don't get these, you're going through the tribulation period. And it's close at hand, and there's no way for you to get out of it. I say this again, as I said last night. You say, well, my grandmother didn't have to have it, and my grandpa didn't have to have it, and them back yonder, they didn't have to have it. That's true. But I tell you again, they had the way of escape. What way of escape did they have? Death. Death was their way of escape. But the generation that sees the coming of Jesus hath no way of escape. They cannot die. They must go through the tribulation period. Therefore, grandmother, she didn't have to live that perfect life in the sense of coming to where Enoch did to be translated by faith. She could go by the grave. But brother or sister, if you don't make the translation, there ain't no grave for you. You're going through the tribulation period. So then you can think of it any way you want to. I'm just telling you the way it is. You know, we got a habit as human beings that we think of things the way we want to think of them. It doesn't matter what the book says or what anybody says to us. But nevertheless, we find out that it's just exactly the way the rule is when we come face to face with it. So then the wise man is the man that, you know, you take a man, he goes to get his license up here. I don't have to study no books. I can make it. The other fellow says, well, I think I'll read this manual. And then when they get up there, the big bragger, he has to sit there and become embarrassed. And the other fellow, he comes out with his license. Isn't that right? The Bible said, not everyone that entereth the race wins. Isn't that right? But he that runneth according to the rules. He, not the one that runneth his mouth now, the one that runneth according to the rules. The brother that got baptized, Brother Taylor baptized him, was it day before yesterday, Frank? Was it yesterday? Brother Taylor baptized the brother Phillips that came up here, he and his wife. And the brother, I said something about him, you know, you have to have the hair cut off. And he said, brother, I'll shave it. And he did. He shaved his entire head. So he went down to the water. He meant business, at least that much. He shaved it all off. I think that's the right way, don't you? So I said, nah, I wouldn't do that. Well, Paul did that. Paul went up there and shaved all his off. If that's what God wants, I'd shave it all off. Wouldn't bother me a bit. I ain't got a whole lot of prayer anyway. Wouldn't lose much. But you know what? Paul shaved it, and the Bible said that when he did that, it signified the fulfilling of the law. And I believe that that's what that had to do with him shaving his head. God prompted him to do it to that extent. Having the significance that the veil hath been removed. That the veil hath been removed and that the law hath been fulfilled in the pattern that Brother Taylor follows. It shows it. The fulfillment of the law, for I've been preaching that we've been shut up under the law, under tutors, until the time appointed of the Father, which is the Bar Mitzvah. Whereas afterwards that faith that should come, and I said it's already come, but some of you didn't get it. You didn't get it. You're still under the law. So where do you get that, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said he that has fallen from grace is still under the law. And it's obvious that some of you are not in the grace of God. You've not found his grace nor his favor. The Bible said God giveth grace to the humble. Some of you are not humble. You're haughty and your spirit still lifted up. So you haven't received it. But it is a true fact that that which was to be at Calvary has come to pass. Here in the end time there is a repeat of it to show that that which was is now being comprehended. Now we're beginning to comprehend it. Now, it's no benefit to us until we can comprehend it. You know, you say, well, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to go to school. That's fine. But, brother, going into college in the front door and out the back door didn't give you nothing. If you can start in the front door and comprehend what's happening all the way through and then walk out the back door, you're in good shape. But see, it's going to take applying yourself, comprehending. So then, we have come to that time wherein this great faith that we speak of has been revealed. Whereas it was revealed even from Calvary. But the thing is, it's over here at this hour when we comprehend it. I just wished you had a keener interest. There's just a lot of things I'd like to say. But the Lord gave me another vision last night and showed me that some of you didn't have the perseverance. And that you were not staying with me, and that you were just walking right out on me. You'd be shocked if I told you some of them, and who was the leaders. You would be shocked. You say, oh, no, I wouldn't. Yes, you would. Yes, you would. Some of you have been shocked at what's happened. I told you here a while back, I said certain things are going to happen, people are going to fall away, such and such. You were shocked. You thought you had it all figured out, but when it happened, you were shocked. You'd be shocked. I'm going to tell you this much. Some of you think too highly of yourself. See, the Bible said not to think too highly of yourself, but think soberly according to the measure of faith has been dealt unto you. You can be sure that you think too highly of yourself. I've tried to tell you and tried to reach you, but you think too highly of yourself. God giveth grace to the humble. So then, there's just so many things that I'd like to say. Not that I would like to say, but the Holy Ghost would like to say them, because I hear him telling me the things he wants you to know. I hear him just as clear telling me and telling me that he wants you to know them. But see, when you don't have the hunger and the interest, then he can't feed you. I could stand here and talk with you. So you're feeding a little bit along. There's a little bit of drawing, you know, a little hunger, but not enough to really get down to business. I thought tonight I'd just take a few minutes and talk with you because I wanted to tell you a few more things than what we told you. Because a lot of you, when I preach to you, you know you're so shallow until when I raise my voice to preach, you let a devil get a hold of you and you resent it and you throw on the brakes. And to try to be merciful to you, I come up here, try to talk to you to ease in and give you a little strength so you can kick the devil out. But some of you don't even have the strength to spiritually stay awake. I watch you and you just like that. And I look at you and you'll be looking right straight at me, but you'll be hard and fast asleep. Jesus said one time, couldst thou not watch 1 hour? Folks, the eating and the drinking and the serving and cares of this life is going to cause that day to come upon you unaware. It's already coming upon you. It's already coming upon you because you're in the natural and you're looking to the natural. Brother Branham warned his people of it. And he said, you're not feeding. God took him out of the midst of them. See, and even until today, many of them, they think they've really got it. But you that are spiritual know that they missed it. You that are spiritual know that they missed it. Now, a few years ago, you couldn't believe that because they had the preeminence on the field, and you'd say right off, no, no, that's Brother Branham's following. If it's Brother Branham's following, Brother Branham had it, I know they got it. But now, since you yourself, some of you have come into the enlightenment to know what God's doing and what God did with Brother Branham and what God intended for Brother Branham's followers, you know now, if you're not an old critic, an old hypocrite that's always looking for some way in your mind to get around Brother Pike, you know for a fact that they missed it. I got some hypocrites here. They wouldn't admit it for nothing in their thinking. They'll say, bless God, I'm with Brother Branham. You're not with anybody. You're a hypocrite. You're not even near Brother Branham. Somebody said, I'm a Brother Branham follower. You're a hypocrite. That's what you are. Ain't nothing about you relates to Brother William Branham. Brother Branham was a man of God. You don't relate to him at all. You're not following him. You're not following Brother Pike either. The same old devil that caused you to find fault with Brother Pike caused you to find fault with the Word of God in William Branham's life. You didn't measure up to it then. You don't measure up to it now. As a matter of fact, as many of his followers are supposed to be devout followers, nothing but hypocrites. I met them, and they don't measure up to God's Word, nor Brother Branham's teachings, or nothing else. They're just hypocrites, that's all. And we got some hypocrites at Bethlehem, too. You better believe we have. But I tell you what, we got some men of God and women of God at Bethlehem, and so has Brother Branham got some in his following. But when we put them all together, Brother Branham's following in Bethlehem, there ain't but a few of them, because the Bible said few there be that find it. When you get them all together, you ain't got very many. So then I said that to say this, that some people, I don't care what I say, in their minds and in their hearts, they're not going to accept God's Word, and they're not going to accept the leadership of the great Holy Spirit, whether it's in your life or my life or Brother Branham's life or whoever. Like the woman that told him that if that was God, she didn't want her cow to have it. There's people like that in the world. All right. A good thought to leave with you is in the second chapter, and it's found in the 43rd verse. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and finding Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. A good thought to leave with you is, follow me. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And here Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. Said, well, Brother Pike, I'm not going to follow you. Well, that's all right. It's your business. You do what you want to do. That's what you're going to do anyway. But it might be of interest to know that the Bible said it would not be Brother Pike speaking, but God that was saying, follow me. So then if you'd have been wiser, you would have thought different. If you'd have thought different, you would have proved yourself wiser. It is a true fact that the Lord, as he said, he had many things to say unto you, but being dull of hearing, he said, I can't. The main thing is to holler at you, to scream at you, and it'll always be that way, even though Jesus didn't do that. He didn't do that, yet that's the only way to get the attention of the people today, is to rock the organ up, or if you're going to have a calm service where, like a lot of evangelists have it, calm to where you don't have a lot of dancing and a hollering and a jumping and a going on, then you have to have the mayor out, and you have to have the movie star out, and you have to have the boxers out, and you have to have everybody out to keep their attention, you know, while they sing and whatever. But I tell you what, it's a good day for getting saved, folks. And if we don't hurry and do it, there ain't going to even be a day for it, because the time is drawing to a close. All right, I love you. I'd love to talk to you about the holy things of God. But when we get to where we feel self-sufficient and we don't need the ministry, we've got enough and we've got it all figured out, the Lord will leave it to you. And he'll let you go ahead and do whatever you want to. And believe it or not, he's fixing to leave it with some of you. I felt yesterday that he was fixing to leave it with some of you. I thought, well, Lord, I believe I'm right in what I understand in this thing, but I'll just wait. And sure enough, when I got home and I started praying, after I got in touch with God during the night, he gave me a vision, and it was so. In the vision, he was leaving it with some of you. When I come out of the vision, I said, well, Lord, that's just exactly what I understood in the Spirit. And I think it would be well, folks, if you could find favor with him as quick as you could and get all that you can while you can. Let's everybody stand together. We come to church a lot of times hoping that it won't last long so we can go back home, which really to me is a routine, and I don't know why anybody would come to church like that. You know, if I felt like that, I'd just say, well, I think I'll take the night off and won't go to church. Because if I'm going to go to church like that, well, I'd rather stay home. Because why bother to come to church when you could do something else? But if you come to church and you got making a dollar on your mind, you got to make another dollar. Can't wait till get back to your job, because that's where your treasures are in your heart. Some of the men, some of the people, some of the women, the things that they're doing, they just can't wait to get back to them. They can't even keep their mind on anything in the church because their heart is not in Christ. It's not in Christ. The treasures are in this world. Their heart is in this world. Their activity and desire and ambition is in this world. So then church is not the loaning of their heart in to go there to get the understanding of God. It's not that at all. Let's sing a little chorus together. If we're going to be the kind of people at Bethlehem that the only time we're going to be inspired to know the Word or to study the Word or to love the Word is when we have a special day or special guests or have a big crowd to where we can all get together, get a jubilance going to where we all feel good. If we're going to be that kind of people, then we're going to miss the rapture. Because them kind of people are going to miss the rapture. You got to be, as someone said, not a fair weather Christian. You got to have the joy of God in your heart, hungering and thirsting after the things of God. It's sad to say, folks, but some of us don't hunger and thirst after the things of God because we're so filled up on the husk that the swine eat. We eat so much. We eat and drink until our minds is give me something else, give me something else, give me something else. In church, we can't hardly wait to get home to get something else to put in our tummies. And our minds are just continually on the natural, natural, natural. Can't rest in church and get our minds on the spiritual because it's so much on the natural. And we just got a routine. We go to church. It's a routine with us. We go to church. We stay a little while and we leave. We go back through the routine. Christmas comes, we get religious because we know there was a babe born in a manger somewhere. Somebody says, oh, this is real. It just dawned on me that this is real. Well, how did it dawn on you that it's real? Well, everybody is celebrating Christmas. That means there must have been a babe born somewhere. Then that means there must be a God. And then we're religious until the Christmas season is over. And that's fading out more and more. It's getting more natural. Thanksgiving, getting more natural, everything, they're leaving Jesus out of it. Church worship, getting more natural, they're leaving Jesus out of it. The Spirit of God is being pushed out. It's lifting from the earth. Gradually, it's lifting. It is so imperative in the plan of God that He have somebody in the earth that be spiritual. Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. But as long as you can eat and drink, or the world can eat and drink, and do the things that they want to do, they're not going to be spiritual. I was talking to Brother Tommy Carter today. He's wanting to come back to church. You can tell he's real tore up in talking to him. And he said, Brother Pike, he said, you just can't get away from this over here, so there ain't no way. Talks to you, it follows you, it goes with you wherever you go. If you don't watch out, Tommy will be back and you'll be gone. You'll be the one wandering around. It's been that way. Some of them have drifted off while others were here, but I noticed they come back and the others that were here, they're gone and they haven't come back. So you don't ever know. The Bible said, fear and be not high-minded, because you're grafted in wild by nature and God can cut you off anytime. But some of you get so confident that you're special in His sight that He can't cut you off. But according to the vision last night, you need to fear. All right, let's sing a little chorus. I tell you this because I'm your pastor. I love you. I love you. I want to help you. I believe what the Bible says. I don't care what you say or someone says or circumstances says or environment. I don't care what it is. I believe what the Bible says. Like I was telling Chuck today, me and Chuck was talking down in the basement. I said, Chuck, I don't care how dead them feet are. It don't have nothing to do with it. Not one thing. As far as I'm concerned, it don't have nothing to do with it. When God said, calling those things that are not as though they are, to me that settles it. I said, what you need to do, Chuck, is look down at them feet and say, dead or not dead, no matter what science says about it or doctor says about it, look down there and say, toes, you're going to move because God said so. Somebody say, but God didn't say so. He certainly did. Where did He say it? Ask what you will in My name and I'll do it. Amen. Chuck asked it in His name. I asked it in His name. He said He would do it. I believe He'll do it. Somebody said, well, why don't He? Well, why don't you have a talk with Him and find out and come tell us? I believe He's already done it. Hallelujah. Said, well, you're a fanatic. I know it. And they say a fanatic is somebody that believes something and believes all you ought to believe it too. I hope I can convince you. I believe it. I believe Chuck will get up from there and walk. If he'll just give God a half a chance with his faith, I believe he'll get up and walk because the Bible said so. And if the Bible said so, I'm a fool for Christ. I don't care what you think about me. I'm a fool for Christ. Somebody said, well, I'd rather be a fool for Christ than just be a fool. Some people just fools for the world. But it don't make no difference what science says. It don't make no difference what nobody says. It's what God said about it. If God said it, then that settles it. As far as I'm concerned, that settles it. The Bible said by God's stripes He was healed. He was healed. And like the vision I saw, Chuck could walk and just didn't know it. And all of a sudden something happened and he got up without realizing it and walked around and never realized he was up walking around till it, all of a sudden it dawned on him. But in the vision, he very definitely was healed and could walk and didn't know it. So then we just say what we've got to do is just know it. Jesus said it, I believe it, and that's the way it is. You know, what we need to do is to quit reasoning. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, if we think like that and we talk like that, somebody, well, what do we care about somebody? I'd rather have God's favor and have God's attitude right toward me than to have all the people in the world think good of me. I want God's favor. I'm not interested in man's favor. I know Jesus grew in favor with man and God, and I know we'll grow in favor with some men if we follow Christ. But I think that we ought to accept what God says about it. Let's sing this little chorus together. I'm expecting Chuck to get up and walk around any time, any day. I find myself praying for him all through the night and over in the morning. I'll be praying. I'll say, God, it might be that Richie will come running up here at Chuck any minute now and bam on that door and say, hey, Chuck's walking. He's walking. I'm expecting it. I'm looking for it. Somebody said, well, I think you're crazy. Well, Paul said it wasn't done in the corner and I'm not beside myself. Blessed it be for Jesus. And that's all right. I'm expecting it. I'm expecting you to get healed. If you're not healed, I'm expecting you to get healed. He said, well, why come you expecting me to get healed, Brother Pike? Because I prayed for you. And I asked God to heal you. Therefore, I'm expecting you to get healed. I'm expecting you to come in time and give me a testimony and say, Glory to God, God healed me. Is your baby better, Carl? Praise the Lord. Carl brought his little one down. I think it was last night. And was running a high fever. And when we started to pray, before I ever even asked God, I heard him. And he comes sweeping down. I said, Carl, he's done healed that baby before we even had a chance to ask him. The reason was, the Bible said, it shall come to pass that he shall answer before you call. The reason for it is because we were all in a spiritual environment. And we were talking about God. And he didn't need us. The man come in with a need and the Lord took care of it. You know, it's so wonderful to love Jesus. Isn't that right? It's so wonderful to love Jesus. I know they come running up the other day and said Rich's little baby was spitting up blood or something. There was alarm. And I don't know whether the report was true or not, but we didn't try to find out. Me and Brother Curly and some of the others, we just formed a ring right there and we began to pray and I felt God do something. Right then and there, I said, I felt God heal that baby. And a few minutes, they said, hey, they said, it's all right. It's all right. That's the way I believe it. I have seen numbers of times when things would happen and blood was just gushing. And just within a moment, just saying, Jesus, for Christ's sake, stop it. Staunch just like that. So, well, that can't happen. The little woman's this year, blood, it happened. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's sing a chorus together, can we? Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Jesus is here. Do you believe that? Jesus is here. All things are possible. Hallelujah. Jesus is here. I feel him, don't you? Oh, Jesus. That's some people at Bethlehem beginning to get faith in their heart. Oh, Jesus is here. All things are possible. Jesus is here. Now sing it like this with me. Oh, Lord, I believe. Oh, Lord, I believe. All things are possible, Lord, I believe. Oh, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible, Lord, I believe. You know, it's a beautiful sight when you see people healed where they've been suffering and death has overshadowed them and they've been so afraid they were going to die. And then all of a sudden, the glory of God comes down. You know, here at Bethlehem, we've had such wonderful deliverance and healings and people, even businessmen in town that's been in intensive care in different places that have been healed. And we've had such wonderful testimonies through the mail and people coming in and out from Bethlehem that got healed and writes back. And it's so wonderful to be healed and to be happy and to be healthy. But it takes believing. It takes believing. It takes putting forth an effort. I notice a lot of times, Brother Richard the Jew standing among us, having been healed. He testified Monday night, I believe it was, at the men's meeting. He said, I got a new life. And how wonderful it is. Because we do have the blessings of God. It is so wonderful. We need to believe. God has worked a miracle on me many a time. He's worked a miracle on our people when they were in wrecks. He's kept them from getting killed and pulled them through when they had to go to the hospital. He's touched them and helped them. He's helped their little children. He's healed them. When on the other hand, other people's little children have died. The boy in the hospital in Athens, he healed him when the doctors thought he was going to die. And God has been so good. It's so wonderful to look back through the years and see a few things that God hath done, the places that we have been, and God having healed on a number of occasions by doctor's report. I remember a number of occasions where the x-rays were already taken. But God healed and God delivered, and the x-rays afterwards showed that it was gone. And the Lord is still healing. And we think of Chuck as a hard case, but that's no hard case for God. See, there's nothing too hard for God. Chuck, healing Chuck, is no more than an everyday thing with God. No more than an everyday thing. You say, well, Brother Pike, why don't you believe and get him healed? Why don't you do it? You ever thought about it like that? He said for you to contend for the faith. He might be keeping him for you to heal him. Have you ever tried doing it? I've got the confidence. I've already won the victory over it. Have you won the victory over it? It's an everyday thing with God. I understand that Sister Cook was expected to die, but she's still here. She's still healthy. She's still whole. She's still going on. She refused to believe it, calling it a lying vanity and a lying divination. And she's went right on and mastered the thing that struck her that they call cancer. She went right on. You can do it. You can do it. Sister Anna, she mastered it. The doctors saw it another way, but Sister Anna looked in a different direction from the doctors. And God done something for her. Eloise's little Billy was a hopeless case. But Jesus smiled upon him when they offered faith. Prayer was given and he's healthy and he's whole. God has been good to us. He's been very good to us. I wonder how good we've been to him. I just wonder how good we've been to him. You know, it's a sweet feeling to go down to the hospital and look over and see a person having been delivered when they're dying. Brother Floyd Owen's daddy come out of the hospital when they said he was eat up with cancer because Brother Floyd believed and asked us to go pray, and his dad believed. God was good. I remember looking at the woman that was healed of TB, and she said, Brother Pike, it's all gone. No more TB. And the woman in Macon that had the spots when they took the x-rays, while we were fasting and seeking God and prayed for her and went back, she said, Brother Pike, the x-ray shows it's all gone. And the many wonderful times, back through the years as well as here, and in our meeting that we just left, where the Lord blessed us and healed. We should believe, not to say anything of the wonderful miracles that God has done through the financial realms of blessing us here at Bethlehem, meeting your needs and my needs. And when there was absolutely no way, God worked miracle after miracle, hundreds of thousands of dollars, blessed us. Somebody was talking yesterday, I believe it was, about Mervin and his little boy and the Lord straightening up his eye. The little boy over in the Carolinas, the pictures in the book where the Lord straightened up his eye. How good and pleasant it is for us to dwell together in unity. That means that we should be believing for Chuck. We should be believing. If you're not believing for Chuck, there's something wrong with you. If you can't truly from the bottom of your heart trust in God to believe that Chuck will walk again, there's something wrong with you. You're supposed to be a saint of God. You're supposed to be a believer. And then is there certain things that we believe God can do and certain things we believe He can't do? I've been in hospitals and prayed for people, and God would heal. But I couldn't go in there believing that God was going to heal this one and He wasn't going to heal that one, because they belonged to a certain church or they didn't do a certain way that I thought they ought to do. I had to go in there with one thought in mind. And I have to pray for the sick like that. And that is that God purifies the heart by faith. Brother, sister, if you can believe, God purifies your heart no matter what church you belong to or whoever you are. And when God purifies your heart by faith, you're eligible for healing and deliverance. We were talking also yesterday about the time when Betty declares that our baby died over in Canada. The Lord having taken me to the sanctuary early in the morning that He might deliver or resurrect the baby over in the evening. Kept me there all day to make sure that my faith didn't waver. You know where we make a mistake? See, the Bible says building up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. A lot of times we don't build our faith up. We build up our faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Jesus built His faith up, and He kept it strong by praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what we need to do, is to worship God in spirit. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, to get in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit, to worship in the Spirit. And then we build our faith up that we might be able to help somebody. If you're not helping anybody, you need to help somebody. Did you know that? You need to help somebody. I've looked down and prayed and seen people get up out of wheelchairs. That's a wonderful sight and a wonderful thought. Did you know that? You pray for somebody and they get up out of a wheelchair and they declare they're healed and you see that they are. I've prayed and seen them get off a bed of affliction when they'd been there a long, long time. But see, the thing is, we want to continue to pray and see more things here at Bethlehem. More things here that people might believe. If we pray, we'll see more. If you'll quit waiting for me, and you'll start doing it, we'll have 10 times as much then. What if every critic, every fault finder, every unbeliever is always trying to put his finger on the minister, would just use a little bit of faith and work a miracle or healing himself? You know, the Bible said these signs shall follow them that believe. Look what the church would be like. But it's too easy to put it off on somebody else, isn't it, when it comes to finding the fault. But I praise God for everything You put off on me, because I'd love to pray in the Holy Ghost and build my faith up. And then when something happens, I'll know it was because I believed. If you be the critic and I be the believer, would that be the way it would work? So then let's work together and you be the believer. And if any two of us agrees is touching anything, God will do it. This is not a plaything, folks. Somebody said, well, it's the same old game all down through the years. The poor people of God, they believed and believed and believed and ain't nothing happened, but we're still going to be believers because we're faithful. Ah, you're a hypocrite and you know it. You don't believe nothing. You wouldn't even think like that if you was a believer. You'd know that all down through the years has been the great miraculous that's happened in God. And if you'd have got right, you'd have been part of it. All right, let's sing this little chorus and I'll quit preaching. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, just to wait. They that wait upon the Lord, building up your faith. Do you ever wait on the Lord in prayer, building up your faith in the precious Holy Ghost? Do you? With wings like an eagle, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, just to wait. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? You know, folks, I not only believe in healing, but I believe in immortality. When I tell you to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I say unto you, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saying unto you, put ye on immortality. For he is resurrected from the dead to die no more. I believe in living eternally. I don't believe in just being healed. But I believe in living eternally. I believe people ought not to die. If you think I'm a fanatic because I believe in the other, I want you to know I believe sincerely from the bottom of my soul that people should not die. Well, I don't see that. Well, that's your business. I'm just telling you what I believe. I believe that. Somehow, you don't really. Yes, I do. Just because you're hypocritical in your mind and you can't believe it, don't look at me and tell me that I don't believe it. I believe it. Someone said, well, I don't really. Well, it doesn't make any difference. I still believe it. You know, some people, they get something in their mind and say, well, I just know he don't believe it. I just know he don't believe it because I just can't think like that. I just can't believe it. What makes you think that that man is on the same level that you're on? You may be a hypocrite. You may not seek God. You may not fellowship God. But that don't mean the other fellows like you because you feel that way. He might not think like you at all. He might think altogether different. Jesus didn't think like them people thought. He thought altogether different from the scribes and the Pharisees. I very definitely believe that people should not die. They should not die. I don't believe God ever intended for man to die. I believe death is God's enemy. I believe God suffered many things down through the years for his purpose. But his pleasure is in living, folks. Jesus said life and that more abundant. All right, I want you to slip your hands up now. I'm going to ask Brother Juan Gonzalez over here on the left near Chuck to come up and dismiss you tonight. I want you to just lift your hands up to God. And while he prays the prayer, I want you to think about this thing, folks. I want you to think about this thing. Stop being childish and hypocritical and get down to business with God and think about how great this thing is. We're talking about God. We're talking about faith. not by about believing. The devil, he believes. But we're not talking about believing. We're talking about the faith of Jesus Christ. That which spoke the world into existence, that can do anything. Why, it's nothing for him to cause you to bypass the grave. And he gave you a promise. Somebody's got to do it. Well, someday. Why do we always want to say someday? When the Bible said today, the songwriter said, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. See, somebody's got to be that person, all those people. Let us believe. You can take it from me, though you might not understand. The people are here and the message is here. You might not understand it, but it's here. And it's going to take the people out of this world. You just wait and see. All right. While the brother's coming.